This is a special time of the year for a lot of people. A time of the year that people get into the mode of giving. And as it was my turn to have the afternoon message, and I was asking the Lord what he would have me speak on, I read a portion of scripture that I was a little bit puzzled that God wants me to share this afternoon, because it's really not about the birth of Jesus. And I've asked a couple of people, well, is it appropriate if I talk about this part or this portion of Christ? It's not the birth, but it's the resurrection. I don't want to pop anybody's bubble this afternoon thinking, well, you know what? I don't want to, this is about joy. It's about, celebrating the birth of Christ. It's about what God has given to us, God's Son. But as I was reading and I was thinking about this and pondering and praying, I think it all comes together. The portion of scripture that I'd like to read with you this afternoon with the help of the Lord, and it's going to be an abbreviated sermon, is found in Isaiah 53. So if you can turn to Isaiah 53 with me, I'd like to read that portion of scripture. Isaiah 53 starts off and says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I would divide him a portion with a great, and he shall divide the spoil with a strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Wow, David, this is more of an Easter message than a Christmas message. But I think in order to really understand this Jesus, not only do we think about his birth, but we also have to think of what he has done for us. We have to think of and be reminded of his love for us. Yes, it's a special time of year. It's a time to be glad and a time to be joyful, a time to give. But that's not it. That's not the whole picture. We don't think of Jesus as just a baby. And it's been said before that after this next week that comes up, or week and a half, we're going to take Jesus and put him back in a box and put him upstairs in the attic until next year, and then pull him back out again. Who is this Jesus? I'm sure at this time of the year, if you ask that message to many, people will say, oh yeah, he's baby Jesus. This is the time that we celebrate him. But Jesus wouldn't be Jesus if he didn't die on the cross for your sins and my sins and rise again so that we can have this hope. Otherwise, this Jesus would be just another baby. He would be a nice, cute little baby in a manger. Someone that was born on this world and he had perhaps left a legacy, and when he died, and that was it. How special is this Jesus to you and to me? What does he mean to you and to me? You know, Isaiah penned this down some 800 years before it actually happened. As a prophet, Isaiah the prophet, and the scriptures say that a prophet, if he goes out and he prophesies, and if it happens and it comes to pass 100% of the time, he's a true prophet. But if he prophesies something and it doesn't happen, he's a false prophet. So Isaiah pens down Jesus some 800 years before it actually even happened. And he, not only does he just say it, but he actually explains who he is and what he's done. I was talking with two of the brothers this afternoon, that in the scripture it says here that he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Now, if we look at this portion of scripture, it talks about a few things. It talks about his incarnation. It talks about his humiliation. It talks about his rejection. It talks about his unjust trial. It talks about his conviction and execution. I apologize for that. Thank you. It talks about the resurrection and his ascension. And as I was reading and studying, somebody mentioned and said, you know what? This sounds like the Gospels. So we talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the Gospels. Actually, it was said that this is the first Gospel, and then Matthew is the second, and so forth. Because the Gospel of salvation was prophesied over 800 years before it came to pass. Who shall grow? He shall grow up to him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath nor form nor comeliness. And it says here that when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. And the conversation that I had with those two other brothers getting back was interesting, because the scripture talks about how Satan was somebody that was a good-looking person, somebody that you can look upon as handsome, if you will. Was Jesus? Isaiah says no. He goes, there's no form of comeliness. Sure, the baby is beautiful and pretty when he's a baby, and as he grows up, he changes. And there's a reason for it. Because when they look at Jesus, if Jesus was a really good-looking guy, they would be looking at his in a different light. And it wasn't about him. I take that back. It was about him, but it was about the message that he was presenting. And if his form was one that was good-looking, then the message would be overlooked by his looks. And he didn't want that to happen. It says he was despised and he was rejected of men. And you think about his life. You think about the things that he has done. And as he's gone through his beginning stages of life, in the back of my Bible here, it talks about a lot of the miracles that he's done. He's turned the water into wine. He healed a bunch of demonic people. He cleansed the lepers. He healed those that were blind and sick and invalid. He restored withered hands. He raised the widow's son to life. He calms the storms. He cast the devils out. He raised from the dead the daughter of Jairus. He walked on the sea. There's just a bunch here that I'm just going to go through here. He restored the lepers. He cleansed the leper. He raised Lazarus. And we can go on and on and on. And Scripture tells us that the things that Christ has done, even the books cannot contain the things that he has done for mankind. But it says, and we hid as it were our faces from him. Gosh, not now. Now is Christmas. We want to see this baby Jesus. We want to come to him. We want to see him. We had the message this morning with those that were wise that wanted to come in and worship him. How about after Christmas is over and done? Do we hide our faces from him? But without the gift that God has given us. And he's given us a gift so that we can have a relationship with God. Jesus, and we've said it before, the irony of the city in which our church is called La Puente, and in Spanish that means the bridge between man and God. Verse 4 tells us that he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened up not his mouth. And if you really want to know what that meant, turn to Matthew chapter 26 and 27, and it'll spell out everything that Christ has gone through with the chief leaders, the scribes, and even when he was up against Pilate. Scripture says he opened up not his mouth. And it was prophesied in verse 9, he made his grave with the wicked. He was on the cross of Golgotha with two thieves. And that's a beautiful portion of Scripture to read, because there was one that accepted him on the cross and there was one that rejected him. And with the rich in his dead. In his death. We know that when Christ died, that he was put in a tomb, a new tomb, by a man by the name of Joseph, a wealthy man. Because he had no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to put him to grief. You see, he took our sins on the cross of Calvary. He bore the pain. He bore the sorrow that we deserve. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. So as we think about this season, as we think about Christmas, let's just not think of the time that Jesus was born. But let's think of why he came. What was the reason for this season? So that you and I so that our sins would be forgiven. This is a time to be joyful. It's a time to rejoice. It's a time to worship God and thank Him for His gift for you and I. But let's also think of what of His love for us. God's love for us was His Son. Christ's love for us was His life. He paid the ransom for your sin and my sin. So as we continue on with this next week, the time that is set aside to commemorate the birth of Jesus, let's also think of the gift that He's given us, both God's love and Jesus' love. May God bless His word, and we continue on with singing.